Almost 5 months after Hurricane Matthew, the long-term part of the recovery has just begun in the worst-flooded eastern North Carolina communities. Hundreds of families are still living in motels and wondering when the federal program that pays for it might end. Jay Price went to Lumberton, where the flooding hit record levels.
Damaged public housing projects and entire neighborhoods of gutted private homes are still empty here. More than 350 families are living in motels. Hundreds more are staying with friends and relatives.
This is West Lumberton.
Brandon Love is the planning director and floodplain administrator for Lumberton. Floodplain issues used to take a few minutes a week, if that. Now, as he helps coordinate reconstruction, that part of his job can eat 60 hours a week, keeping him on the phone, in meetings, and driving around the city to check stricken neighborhoods, like this one.
In West Lumberton, most of the houses got anywhere from 24 inches, 48 inches of water in them.
Enough to destroy the wiring, appliances, and drywall, ruin insulation, and foster enough mold to make a house unlivable. There are several federal and state programs to help owners of badly damaged homes, including FEMA's hazard mitigation grants. The city has received more than 150 applications so far for that program. Like the name suggests, the idea is to ensure that a damaged house in a vulnerable place doesn't have to be repaired again after another flood. FEMA pays, but local officials decide which of the options will be offered to residents of each neighborhood.
One would be an acquisition, or it's commonly referred to as a buyout. One would be elevation, where you actually go in and raise the home. And then the third is mitigation, which is demolition and then rebuild back on the same site. Although all three of those are, you know, potential opportunities for homeowners, I would say in Lumberton we're going to be very targeted on where the buyout is an option.
In buyouts, homes are knocked down and the lots forever preserved as open space. The homeowners can then take the money and move to higher ground where they won't have to worry about the next hurricane. But buyouts, if local officials aren't careful where they offer them, can have downsides that cut right into the heart of what makes a community work. Remaining residents see their friends leave and their neighborhoods diluted by the so-called checkerboarding of one missing house here and another there. Property values can drop. And for the cities, Love points to a vacant lot between storm-damaged homes.
It looks like a home was removed from that spot very recently.
A city program had removed a long derelict house there before the flood. The effects are similar to what happens in a buyout. The city loses the property taxes, has to keep the lot cleaned and mowed.
And then you don't have folks that are contributing to buying water, buying sewer, buying power. So from an economical standpoint, it really pulls down on the city's resources to offer services. And not only do you want to try and keep the communities intact as far as having the housing stock there, having the people living there, but you also want to keep the economics of the city healthy as well.
So, Lumberton will likely aim that option at only a few dozen houses on land where flooding is common and where it makes sense to create open space, like next to a park. Regardless of whether residents rebuild or relocate, it could take 6 or 7 months before that money starts flowing. Love says all the reconstruction may take 2 or even 3 years. He and other city officials, though, know patience is in short supply for some flooding survivors. Linda Oxendine is Lumberton's public services director.
You hear anything from depression? I'm very depressed. You're in a very small, you know, hotel with 2 beds, and you may be in there with 3 or 4 kids.
Oxendine was planning to retire December 31st, but the storm hit, so she decided to stay on as long as it takes to help the city recover. She tries to help flood survivors in motels find rental housing and is sometimes out until 8 or 9 p.m. checking on them.
I remember a group came, and they were actually in one of our Cumberland County hotels. They had finally cooked a legitimate meal using a little oven type situation that they have, plug-in oven and electric fryer. And it was several hours that it took them to cook that one little meal. They were so excited.
Among those she's trying to help is the Killens family.
Is that okay if I sit on your bed?
Sure.
Thank you.
Greg Killens installs sprinkler systems in large buildings.
Me, I'm used to living in a hotel because, you know, I go from state to state, you know, with my work. But I never thought that I would be taking care of my grandmother and my mother and my wife in a hotel.
Space is tight. Food and laundry are daily problems. As he talks, his wife Kristen, a school teacher, taps away at her laptop.
Looking online for whatever might be available.
The perpetual search for a rental home or apartment. Rental property was scarce before the flood, and now anything that becomes available is snapped up quickly. And the federal program that pays for the hotel rooms could end soon. FEMA has extended it at the state's request, but it runs out March 4th unless the state asks for another extension. Kristen Killens says they don't know where they'll go if it ends.
That's been the million-dollar question since October.
The Killens family owns four houses on the same side of town, all of them severely damaged. A Christian volunteer group is helping repair one. The family is hoping that the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Program will eventually fix the others. In their neighborhood, many homes were built in the 70s, and the original residents or their children still own them.
A lot of people feel, you know, that's nothing but brick and mortar. No, it's not. You know, to some folks, you know, that's about their heritage, you know, where they come from, and you should uphold that.
Greg Killens says his family won't ask for buyouts, and he's hoping none of their neighbors get them either. They want their homes and their community back. Killens' mother died of cancer the month after the flood, but his grandmother, Layla Thompson, is still two doors down in a motel. At 95 years old, she had never spent a single night in a motel and always hated being away from her house so much that she would only visit relatives for one night. But she had never had to wait out of a flood either.
It's been all right with me, but it's not home. I would rather be in my own house, but I had no other choice. I had to stay somewhere until this is where I land at, right here.
Thompson will turn 96 next month. She wants to celebrate that birthday in her own home. That might not be possible. But right after I left the Killens family, they got some modest good news. A landlord had agreed to rent them a home. It's only temporary, but at least they can leave the motel. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.